We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins in silence. And now we confess our sins as a community of faith. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty Lord, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Grace of our Lord, of God, the compassion of Christ, and the hope of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, draw our hearts to you. Guide our minds, fill our imaginations, control our wills, so that we may be wholly yours. Use us as you will, always to your glory and the welfare of your people. Through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Jesus promises to be with us through the power of the Holy Spirit, and miraculously, he promises that as we serve and care for our fellow human beings, we are actually caring and serving him. Our reading is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 40. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance. The kingdom has prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. The word of the Lord.
Will you please join me in prayer? Gracious Lord God, we thank and we praise you for this time together. And we ask that as we hear your word, as we consider your word, that we would encounter you, the living Lord, the Lord of our lives, the one who loves us so dearly and seeks to draw us to yourself. Bless us in this time, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Go ahead and be seated, please. I'm going to be up front here because I have a whole bag full of illustrations tonight. It does. Daniel has one just like this, doesn't he? Well, there you go. I hear sometimes people will say, and of course he tells me this. He said, well, you know, I had a number of people say, you know, I got more out of the children's message than I did the sermon. Whew, okay. Well, tonight, since we didn't have a children's message, I gotcha. All right, there it is. Hey, as we consider God's word, one of the great gifts that God has for us is when he shares his word, it's not just for information. It's really an invitation to draw closer to himself. He wants us to come close. And he gives all, I mean, he uses so many different images and so many different, he presents different ideas. He uses all kinds of language, you know, lots of farming and ranching and language about growing things and all of that, but also just amazing stories. When we get to this evening's passage about from on Matthew chapter 25, and honestly, it's a bit terrifying. You know, I like lots of Jesus stories. You know, they're especially the ones that feel good. Right? You walk away and think, oh, isn't our God a good God, a compassionate God, a kind God, and he just loves me so much. And then there are passages like this that really are, I guess you'd say, kind of a two-edged sword. It cuts one way and another. And Jesus is wrapping up his ministry. And he is speaking to the people. And he's been talking about the end. That the end is coming. We have these stories and these parables that he shares about, okay, you know, don't be foolish about thinking that I'm not returning. And in this particular case, he says, okay, there will come a day when the king, will judge heaven and earth. There will come that day. And we see that where the Son of Man comes in his glory. In other words, Jesus returns, everybody knows it. There's nobody has to wonder. If somebody comes to you and says, you know, I got to, you know, I was reading something or I saw something on the internet that said that Jesus has returned. You know what? Every single one of us, every single person on the planet, whether they ever had any idea who Jesus was or not, is going to know. You don't have to wait for the little flag to come up on the internet announcing that some big thing had happened like Jesus returning. Nope, you'll know it. And we're told he's going to come in his glory, all the angels with him. Okay, would that be pretty impressive? Now, here's the thing. You know, think about the shepherds. One angel came, and how did they respond to that one angel? They were fearful. Jesus is coming back in all of his glory and all of his angels. How's that going to go for us? Will you be aware of it? You will. Okay? He will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations, all of us will be gathered before him. And he'll separate the people one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right, the goats on his left. This judgment is happening. Now here, that's the cutting part. There will be a judgment. Now but there's also great news here. Number one, is God going to absolutely judge with justice and righteousness, perfect justice and righteousness? Absolutely. And through faith in Christ, do we lean on our own goodness and what we've done, or do we lean on what Christ has done? What Christ? So we're going to be judged that way, okay? But there's this word here that comes to us about the separating of the sheep and the goats. And we're told that the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." And then he starts with this. "For I was hungry." And let's go ahead and put that out. "I was hungry and you" what? "Gave me something to eat." And you know, okay. There you go. All right, there it is. Those of you can't see, it's oatmeal. Yeah, it doesn't help when I turn, does it? "I was hungry and you gave me something to eat." And they're going to say, "When did that happen?" And Jesus is going to say, let's say it's a friend, or let's say that Tobias has nothing. I mean, he has no food. And I say, "You know what? I've got some oatmeal here. Would you like some oatmeal?" Okay. What Jesus is saying is, in the giving, when I give this to Tobias, I'm giving it to Jesus. And what does that mean? That Jesus is with me. He promises his presence in as you give. All right? Here. Oh, and I take it back. I didn't. Okay, here. We'll leave it right there. Okay. Let's go. Oh, boy. I guess. Let's do the next one. All right. I was thirsty, and you what? Gave who? Me. Something to drink. Now, hey, just know, I'm not going to start calling you Jesus, all right? Just so you know it. And look, it says Texas on it, H-E-B style. All right, there it is. All right. So, in giving it to Tobias, who did I give it to? Jesus. So who's with me in the giving? Jesus is. You know, if you and I want to encounter the living Lord, there's so many ways. I mean, we come to him in prayer, we come to him in all these things, but he also is with us in the giving. All right? What's the next thing? "I was a stranger and" what? "You invited me in." Okay? Well, I invited you to Los Tios and we went, right? Okay, so there it goes. The what? Okay. I'm using David's second service. No, no, I'm teasing. But in the invitation, and notice this, and he wasn't a stranger. Okay? But when you care for a stranger, you're caring for whom? Jesus. And you're actually able to encounter Jesus in the giving. Okay? How many of you have ever been on a mission trip and you were serving, and one of the things you came back with and you told everybody, "You know what? I know I went to serve, but I got a lot more out of it, I feel, than I gave." Why is that? This. Because when you're giving, in a very real sense, you're encountering the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go on, okay? Let's go on to that next part. I needed clothes. Here you go. Needed clothes. And you what? Clothed me, Jesus is saying. Okay? Now, I happen to like this as well. Okay? You know, those quilts. But let me ask you something. When we send close to 500 quilts out, do those quilters run after those boxes all over the world? So that they can see who opens it and gets them? No. But you know what? Even in the giving, even though they can't see who it goes to, who are they giving it to? They can know that they're giving it to Jesus. I was going to grab a 20 out of here. Sorry. But let's say you pull that $20 bill out and you send it. Let's say it's Lutheran World Relief. And you give that and you know it's going for earthquake relief in Indonesia. And it's going to and it ends up helping a Muslim family. But what does Jesus say about that? When you gave it to me. Does it matter what religion that person is at that point? No. When in the giving, I mean, is Jesus capable of sorting this out? Yeah. How many of you worry that your gifts your giving or what you're sharing I'm going to give it. I know this is a food drive, but somebody's going to abuse it. How many of you worry about that sometimes? Okay, two of you. Okay, that's good. But again, who sorts it out? Once it's given, the Lord has received it. Now, what that person does with it, for good or for ill, that's up to them. I was sick, and you came to visit me. I borrowed this. My wife said, don't break it. It's really expensive. Okay? Now, you may know how to use these, I don't. But you know what you and I know how to do? How to visit somebody. How to pray with somebody. And when you go, who receives it? Jesus. Who are you? You know, you may have known that person your whole life. Or you may be married to that person. And you're going in, but you know what? When you're caring for that person, when you are doing things you never dreamed to be doing, who are you doing it for? Jesus receives it unto himself. Isn't that beautiful? I tell people, I said, you know, when you want to show your love for the Lord, you want to encounter the living Christ. And I've had people say, you know what, Pastor, I haven't been to church in 6 months because it's almost 24/7 caring for my spouse. And I bet I miss, I feel like I'm disconnected from Jesus, and we'll have this conversation. And I'll say, you know what? Let's read this and understand that as you are caring for that loved one, Jesus is receiving it unto himself as an act of worship and an act of adoration and an act of praise. I was hungry. I was sick. And you took care of me. So that loved one right there that you're taking care of, Jesus says, you know what? When you took care of that person, you were taking care of me. Isn't that beautiful? You see what he does? He takes just our everyday things and he changes it. And I have a picture here I want to show you. Oh, this is from Crossways International. And there's this picture here, and God's plan for us is to serve him by serving others. And what I want to show you on this is this picture up in the corner is the symbol for God. It's the circle is God's eternal nature, and the red arrows are his love going out in all directions. God is love. His love is there. And there's us as human beings. There's two of us there. And God's love comes, the vanguard is pointing, right? It comes down through one to the other. Okay? So part of the way that God shows his love, let's say for Tobias, or for that person who's sick, or that friend, or whatever it is that God's love, one of the ways that he experienced God's love is it God's love coming through me to him. That's part of what happens. And so when we feed, even if we put a can in the canned food drive, if we go get some of those hearts that we're trying to gather some kits together, Jesus says, you gave that to me. Thank you very much. And that's us. That's God's love coming through us, through our hands, as we bring those things to the neighbor. But I want you to notice something else. Notice that the vanguard goes both ways. It goes up. Vanguard is the tip of the arrow there. Is that we can say, people say, oh, I just want to worship God. I don't want to deal with the church. Or I don't want to deal with all those other people. I just, me and God. And that's sort of like doing this. Okay, here we are. And I'm just going to praise the Lord. Can we by ourselves at times praise the Lord like that? Absolutely. But what this shows us is when we love and serve our neighbor, it goes through them to whom? To Jesus. There it is. And there was a woman born in 1910. Her name was Agnes. And she was trained to respect the dignity of others, even those that society ignores. And each weeknight, Agnes's mother would invite poor people into their home. They were a relatively wealthy family, for dinner and for conversation. The mother especially welcomed women in distress, old widows with no caretakers, homeless women with no roof, unwed mothers shunned by family and friends. That's who Agnes's mom would invite into the house for dinner, and I love this, and conversation. Agnes's brother later commented that their mother never allowed any of the many poor people who came to our door to leave empty-handed. And when we would look at her strangely, her brother and Agnes and her brother, the mom would say, keep in mind that even those who are not our blood relatives, even if they are poor, are still our brethren. It was through serving these visitors that Agnes first discovered Jesus in his most distressing disguise. Jesus in his most distressing disguise. She came to value the poor not because of what they could do or produce, not because of their job or credentials, but because they radiated the image of God. Agnes. Well, we know Agnes as Mother Teresa. According to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the dignity of the human person is rooted in his or her creation in the image and likeness of God. And so thus, from the beginning until now, every man and woman bears the divine image and so bears within an inestimable dignity. You know the word. For Mother Teresa, this passage wasn't just a pious metaphor. It described reality. The secret to her infectious joy and boundless compassion was that in every person, every paralytic, every leper, every invalid, every orphan, In them, she recognized Jesus. We're told that a Hindu gentleman once approached Mother Teresa and pointed out that while both he and Mother Teresa were doing social work, the difference was that he and his co-workers, as Hindus, were doing it for something, while Mother Teresa was doing it for someone, for Jesus. The compassionate nun didn't help people simply because it was the right thing to do. She helped them because she knew deep within her that by serving others, she was serving Jesus himself. And so we have those words at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus says, and so this is just three chapters after this whole passage. He says, you know, go and do all these things. But then he says, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age. He's with you. Not just in some kind of ethereal, spiritual kind of way, but every day, in the people you meet, in the people around you, as you love and serve them, he is there. You touch them, you're touching him. You serve them, you're serving him. And so, as we conclude this time together, Jesus says to us, so go. And come. Go out and serve, but come and receive and experience me. We're going to celebrate Holy Communion in just a few moments. And as you come forward, you know, put your hands out. And, you know, it's, I know in your hearts you can do, some of you say amen, some of you say thank you, Lord. You know, just say thank you, Jesus, because he comes to you in the blood, in the wine, in the bread, in his precious body, his precious blood. He is with you in yet another way. Let's pray, please. Lord God, we thank you for this time that you indeed are with us. Bless us as we prepare to celebrate this holy meal together and help us to experience and encounter you every day in the precious name that is above all names, we pray. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Hey. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts. With them, we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made, for the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We continue in prayer. Oh, gracious Lord God, we thank you and we praise you for this time together, for the privilege of being able to join our voices together in praise of you, the privilege of being able to be here to discern your word and your will for us. And we ask that you would continually pour out your Holy Spirit on each one of us, that we may experience you, may come and touch the hem of your robe and be healed. That we may know you and know how much we are dearly loved by you. So lift up our hearts, lift up our eyes to you every moment of every day. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for your provision for us from day to day, for daily bread and all we need from day to day. We thank you for work and income. We thank you for the gift of relationships in our lives. And Lord God, where things are lacking, where those relationships are broken or hurting, where we are in some physical need, we ask that we would trust you above all things and that you would bring healing to every part of our lives and we restore that which is broken. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord God, we thank you. Thank you for our nation. Thank you for this world. And we ask that you would work within the hearts of leaders throughout this world, leaders within our own nation, within our state, within our community, and help them and guide them into the ways of justice and in the ways of your will. Lord God, we are grateful for rain that has come to the land, for the gift of favorable weather, and we ask that you would continue to bless this land with that which we need. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, there are so many needs around us. Needs perhaps in our own families or with our friends or for ourselves. And for those who are in need of physical healing, we pray for that. That you would lay your holy hand on each one of them, those in need. Restore them. We ask a special blessing on those who have been hospitalized, Yvonne Fox and Irene Grossenbacher, Curtis Stout, Iris Burr. We ask that you be with all in hospice care, including Emma Hirschfield. And Lord, that you would be with those that we name in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy. Now into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The night in which he was betrayed, that our Lord Jesus, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of those whom you have fed with one heavenly food. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Receive the Lord's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance up upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now I don't.
Lord of all hopefulness, Lord of all joy, whose trust
we live to live out God's call.
To save the lost, to bring the saved.
May we go to be and make disciples. And remember, he is with you always, even till the end of time.